1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Let me read once again. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye were washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. A marvelous change is given to all those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the main theme that I want to bring across to you from this text that we read today. A change in the way we lived our lives as we are ushered into the kingdom of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ preaches holiness of God. Just as the law of God or the Ten Commandments declares the holiness of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ also clearly proclaims God's holiness. If any one of us thinks that the gospel of Jesus Christ does not require holiness, or it does not insist on holiness, then we are absolutely wrong. Most certainly, the gospel of Jesus Christ speaks to us in tender ways. It expresses God's love and mercy and grace. But it also speaks most sternly to ungodly and unrepentant sinners. Gospel declares God's infinite mercy. It encourages us to hope in the salvation that Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. But it also declares without any doubt that God hates and He will punish sins and those who remain in those sins that God hates. So, my dear friends, just as Moses came down from Sinai with the Ten Commandments, which preach the holiness of God, every gospel preacher, wherever he may be, also declares God's holiness. Let no gospel preacher ever speak lightly of sin. Let no gospel preacher ever say to a sinner, carry on as you are, try as much as you can, it's all right, God understands. And when it is convenient, turn back. It's enough that you believe in Jesus. And when it is possible, you may leave your sin. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is totally perverted. It's a perverted gospel that encourages sinners to remain in sin and then say, I'm heading to heaven because I have trusted Jesus. It seems that there were such people even in the early church, such as in the church of Corinth. We leave them as they are. Paul disagrees. Look at that verse, verse 9. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" So let me say this clearly to you. Gospel proclaims the woeful condition and condemnation of the unrepentant sinners. Woe unto you if you caught sin while you say that you are following Christ. It is not possible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what Jesus said. Not kingdom of God and sins. Not kingdom of God and worldliness. It is not possible. Kingdom of God and righteousness. And on the other hand, sin and hell. So let it be clear to us. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Did you notice that? In the middle of verse 9? After affirming that great truth that the unrighteous shall not inherit God's kingdom, he says to the Christians, be not deceived. And I want to say to all of you who are listening to me this morning, please don't go away from this sanctuary thinking that you are heading to the kingdom of heaven if you continue in your sins. Be not deceived. What a glorious message. Be not deceived. Tell yourself, oh my soul, don't fool yourself. If you have been fooling yourself, pray to the Lord for grace so that your hearts may be convicted of this great and clear message in the Scriptures. There is a solemn sentence declared by the gospel of Jesus Christ that sinners who continue in their sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. So be not deceived. If you see anyone coming to the church living in this kind of sin, do not think you can also afford to live such a life. People who do not repent or secretly engage in sin should not be your example. They are not the ones whom you should follow. Do not mark them as your pattern. If you do so, you deceive yourself. Now look at the catalog of the black and terrible sins that Paul mentions here. Verse 9 and 10. From the second part of verse 9 I read, "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." You know, it's quite difficult to explain these sins. They are not nice to talk about, isn't it? Nonetheless, let me spend a little bit of time on these sins that are mentioned. As quickly as possible, I will move through each of them. Fornicators. These are men who live in sexual immorality. Premarital sex. adultery, and all kinds of pornographic activities that people engage in these days all come under this. I must say this loud and clear. It is a very difficult thing in these days for pastors to conduct weddings, because many have lived in sin. Many have already engaged in premarital sex. They have lived as almost like husband and wife, and then come to pastor and say, please marry us. And sometimes they keep quiet about it. There are instances where a pastor who has taken a couple through premarital counseling and prepared them for marriage, and then solemnize the wedding. Then a couple of months later, somebody reports to him, pastor, the couple that you have married, it looks like they have been living in sin because the girl is now 5 or 6 months pregnant. Oh. And then the whole church thinks that the pastor has agreed to such a lifestyle, and therefore he quietly married them. You know how painful these things are? And then pastors are drawn to a situation where they cannot keep quiet about it, because it has become public. It has to be dealt with publicly. Why all this sorrow and pain? Because increasingly, our young people are following the fashion of the world. They say we must have courtship before marriage. But what is courtship today? I would rather say many of them use the word courtship to equate with fornication. How shameful it is. Dear friends, this kind of lifestyle is not for people who are heading to heaven. If this house of God, or any church on the face of the earth, would permit such things, or keep quiet about such sin, let me tell you, this is not a church that will be seen in heaven. That's why your pastors, your elders, your parents, young people, tell you, be careful. We cannot be like the world. By the way, this sin is not only with the young people. Even married persons engage in sexual immorality secretly. Do you know how painful these things are? And I want to tell you, dear friends, if any of you take this sin lightly, let it be known, fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. Look at the next sin. Idolaters. Oh, you may be saying, preacher, there is nobody who worships idols in our church. Well, it's not about just bowing down before an idol or an image. You know, that beautiful child that you have at home can be your idol. Your business can be your idol. Your wealthy profession can be your idol. Your pursuit of academic excellence can be an idol, because these things can distract us from the Lord. Anything replaces the preeminence of God in our life is an idol. Look in your heart and see whether there is anything such as that which causes you to think of God's truth as not important, which causes you to think of God's holiness as secondary. You must repent. Be not deceived. Again, let me say, idolatry of any kind will not help you to enter the kingdom of God. Then again, he uses the word adulterous. Well, I have said enough about sexual immorality of this kind when I explained the word fornicators. Now we move on to the next in the list. Nor effeminate. Or I dare not explain what this is all about. Maybe people are so aware of such things happening in these days. These are homosexuals, but they are male prostitutes. Men who act like women. Corrupt and defile their bodies and soul in such shameful fashion. They existed in the past, and they are innumerable in our time. It is a very dangerous thing. It's a sad thing. Probably 15 years ago or 20 years ago, when two men walk hand in hand, we may not think too much about that. But now, we wonder what's going on. It is a very wicked world. This is not something then that we can laugh away. We have heard even pastors who were at the top of the evangelical world engaging male prostitutes to serve them. It is so carnal and wicked, and that it has crept into what is generally known as church. Be not deceived. Such shall not enter the kingdom of God. Look again. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Clearly, this is a reference to homosexuals, gays and lesbians. You know, this is not a joke. I went to my second son's secondary school. For the orientation. Now it seems that every secondary school has a counselor. And she said, it's so important that parents think of the counselors as trustworthy people. And they are very happy to know that children now approach these counselors more readily than ever before. Last time children used to think only mad people would go and see counselors. But now it's a common thing. So she felt very happy about it. She talked about many things which were good and I was appreciative. But somewhere toward the end of her speech, she talked about sex education in our churches. I'm sorry, in our schools. Forgive me. And she talked about BGR, she talked about homosexual relationship very briefly, and she said, you know, if any of our children in the school has any problems with homosexuality, we will give them counseling. And didn't say what it is, yes or no. So I felt a bit troubled, and I told my wife, I think I need to talk to her after this speech. So after the speech, I went up to her with my wife and I said, can I have a few minutes to check with you some things that troubles my heart? And she said, sure. She was very happy to talk to us. My wife quickly jumped in and said, what is your view on homosexuality? She was very straightforward. This lady cannot escape. Well, Singapore government promotes heterosexuality, but we are not against homosexuality. But we teach our children to be responsible students. We will teach them to make responsible decisions. And she said something else, which is not so relevant to what we are concerned about. So my wife repeated the question again. But what is your view? Because you are the counselor, right? We want to know what you would say. And I can see she's not happy that we insisted that we want to know what is her view. So I quickly stepped in and said, look, I do talk to teenagers. I do give counseling from time to time. I know this is a growing problem in secondary schools of Singapore. And I'm concerned about it. And then she made a very funny face. Is it real? Then I said, look, I'm a pastor. I give counseling to young people. And I know of some homosexuals who were influenced in secondary schools. So it's important for me to know. So she said, if you are a Muslim, it's a no-no. I said, no, I'm a Christian and it's still no-no. So can you tell me what is your view? You know, I had to really extract something out of her. And she said, oh, to me, it's all right. A lightning went through my heart and said, oh, so if my children have a problem, if somebody influences them, and if they come to you to have a word with you, you wouldn't say it's wrong, absolutely. You will say, make responsible decisions. Now, I didn't want to continue with the conversation because I know what she is, as far as her conviction is concerned. I can't change her mind. And I knew, going home, I have a lot of work to do at home. I want to tell you, dear friends, it doesn't matter which bishop or which pastor or which elder says God loves everybody equally and homosexuals can enter into heaven. I say to you, as long as they live an unrepentant life and continue in the sin, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Gospel of Christ says it, and the Bible declares it. In our churches, we have to preach this absolutely clear. Absolutely clear. And I say it again. Anyone who live in homosexuality without repentance and leaving it to come to Christ will not go to heaven. Only if they leave that sin. Seeing God's infinite love expressed through Jesus Christ, who died to take away their judgment and the power of sin, will be saved. It has to be clear. Gospel brings about a marvelous change, wonderful change, as Sister Deborah sang. Wonderful change has been wrought in us through the gospel. Look again, verse 10. Nor thieves. Well, it does not necessarily mean those who break into our houses and shops to steal. Yes, it includes them. It's more than that. Anyone who steals, anyone who deceives others and take things that belong to others, which are not theirs. It can happen in many places, in many ways. Students, if you steal somebody else's assignment and pass it to your teacher, you are a thief. If you say, I'm borrowing and don't return, it can become another form of stealing. Of course, I also sometimes forget to return books. I know that. And when I see that, I must quickly return. Otherwise, I become a thief. We all must remember, God hates any of us desiring for things that God has given to others. If God has not given to us, then we should be able to say, God knows what I need the best. And He has given me what I need, and I thank God for that. We must be contented with what God gives. If you develop within you a covetous spirit, jealousy and envy, then you may end up stealing. If you are not a contented person, You may steal from your boss. Recently, one young lady who fell in love with a married man wanted to please him by giving him a lot of money, and she started stealing from her boss. The story was in the Straits Times. How foolish she was. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Sometimes I wonder what causes people to do such foolish acts of stealing. Well, dear friends, let it be known, even though you manage to cover up your stealing behavior, God sees it. And if you are not willing to repent, God has a message for you. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. So thieves, nor covetous, and after that, drunkards. I heard one preacher saying, this is one sin I think the devil has not done. I've never seen Satan drinking. Well, nonetheless, we know the devil tempts us. And I don't mind to say, all these alcoholic beverages that make us drunk are devil's drink. All those bottles are devil's bottles. All those glasses into which they pour these liquors to catch your eye with the sparkling liquid in it, they are all devil's instruments. Now it is more fashionable, isn't it, to drink? Drunkenness has increased in Singapore. Well, government says it's bad and wrong to smoke. I hope they will say it as loud and clear that it is bad and wrong to get drunk and to put your lips into alcoholic beverages. Now, I don't have time to explain this much, but it is clearly taught in the book of Proverbs that wine is a terrible deceiver. It deceives us. It causes us to lust after women. And its venom is described like the venom of a viper. Like an adder, it bites you. So keep away from this sin. It's clear. Again, revilers, partygoers, enjoying the sensual entertainments. You are warned here. That's not the way to heaven. Extortioners, those who want to be rich by grabbing money and things that belong to others. You know, in these days we read a lot of things about how foreign workers are taken advantage of by businessmen in Singapore. You know, we have a Malayalam fellowship, which is the language that I speak, in Gethsemane BP Church. We reach out to some people who came from my home country. There are all kinds of people from that part of the world who work here. Some are software engineers, some are teachers, some work in very high posts in this country, but some are very poor people. And they work in shipyards, construction sites, and so on. And recently I've been visiting some of these people. And some of the stories make me so sad. They are promised $2,000 in their own home country. And then they get them S-Pass. Now that requires a certain level of salary. You can't get that pass if you are below a certain amount. So they are promised that. But when they come here, they are not given that, much lower than that. But they are forced to sign on paper that this is what they receive. And many of these people come from their homeland by taking loans. And when they come here, what they get is not even sufficient to pay off the loans. And they live in tears. So I asked one of them, would you mind to make a that I go and make a report against your boss? He said, Pastor, please, don't do that. If you do that, I have to go home. I dare not go home. It is terrible to think that some Christians have a part in these things. This is wickedness. You shall not inherit the kingdom of God unless you repent. Repent, repent, says Jesus Christ. You know, the same Lord Jesus Christ called sinners to inherit the kingdom of God, said with the same lips while he was on the earth, on that day he will say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." The same Savior who prayed, "Father, forgive them," will also judge and say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Oh, be not deceived. Be not deceived, my dear brethren. You are not the one who should write what's the way to heaven. It is God who has designed it. And it's a path of holiness. Jesus saves sinners like you and me. And we can't pretend our way to heaven. We must keep on crying, "Lord, I'm a sinner. There are so many temptations. And there is within me this nature of flesh that causes me to think that which is evil. My heart is so often desperately wicked. Have mercy, save me, protect me, keep me." That must be our prayer. We must fight a good fight of faith against the sins that molest us. We cannot yield to our enemy. We must yield to Christ, our Savior. Come back to our text, brethren. And he says clearly in chapter 6, verse 11, "Such were some of you." A wonderful change is introduced here. He says, "Such were some of you." Now, not all of us have done all the things that are so evil mentioned here. Now, some of you may say, "I have never been a homosexual. I've never stolen as Pastor Koji has described." Maybe it's true. Not all of us have done all things that are mentioned here. And even that is God's grace. I think if God's grace has not prevented us from entering into such sins, we would have easily done all those. It's only because He has restrained us. Nonetheless, there may be some like this who had lived their life before they came to Christ like this. Now, if not everyone has lived this life, then why did Paul mention some of these things? Now, I tell you why. To declare the power of the gospel. How beautiful is the gospel of Jesus Christ. To admire the glory of Christ. How powerful He is. Think about these sins that were listed here. How terrible they are. Even for non-Christians, many of these deeds are black and darksome. They're gruesome. They're filthy. Even they hate it. And then Jesus says to you all, there is a message of change in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Though I hate these sins because the Lord has taught my heart to hate these things, I will not hesitate to preach the gospel to such sinners. I'm glad our churches have people who once lived like this, but now walked away from it because Jesus has embraced them. Oh, look at the glorious power of the gospel. Gospel declares the woeful condition and condemnation of such sinners. But gospel also declares a change. A change to such sinners. Some of us were like that, but no more. How glorious is this? There were There was a situation in which I found myself very troubled. You know, this category of sins mentioned here, they are terrible. They have long-lasting consequences. Even though we have changed by the grace of God, sometimes the consequences of our past sins can continue us or pursue us. Give you an example. If a man has lived with another woman who is not his wife and had a child in secret, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and give up that relationship and confess it to the wife and said sorry, came to the church and get baptized. But he will not be able to hide that reality forever. That girl and or that woman and the child may take up the cause to come back to him. It can be a haunting problem for the rest of that Christian's life. Those who lived in homosexuality may have contracted HIV or AIDS or some other sexual sin, sexual sicknesses. It may trouble them even after they become Christians. Isn't that right? And some of the troubles plague me too, because I care for the people in the church. Not only me, all those who care for one another. Even you will also feel it. Nonetheless, when people are changed by the Lord Jesus Christ, we look at them as changed, transformed. Consequences of their past action may trouble them and may trouble our churches also. But that will not cause us to look down on our fellow brethren whom the Lord has gloriously changed. We should thank God for them. Some of you were like these, but no more. Glory be to God. What does the gospel do to such? Well, look at the last part of our text. So clearly Paul says, ye are washed. You are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Normally, in a theological discussion or theological presentation, we would mention justification as the first. Then probably we go on to say cleansed and sanctified. We know sanctification follows justification. It begins with justification and it continues on and on until we are glorified. Here, Apostle Paul begins by saying, ye are washed, ye are sanctified. These are the two things he said first. Gospel brings a change, a cleansing. He wants to emphasize that. That's why he mentions these things first. Christians, following Christ does not mean that you can take your sins on your back, enjoying it, and follow him. Not possible. They must be cleansed. So all those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ are quickly cleansed, washed. The stains of sin are removed. And sanctified, that is to say, live a separated life because you follow Christ. The reason for this is because we are justified. So our cleansing and sanctification guarantees our justification. That tells us we are truly justified. Now what is justified? Declared not guilty, right? We are no more under condemnation. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us his righteousness. And now we put on his righteousness. It's imputed on us. And as the justified sinners, sinners who have been declared not guilty, we thankfully rejoice in the power of Christ. Now, how do these wonderful change come about? How does these things happen? Look at that again, verse 11. Paul says, ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ experiences the wonderful working power of the Holy Spirit. He engages in sanctifying us. The Holy Spirit is given that all sins may be removed as we live after Christ Jesus. Name of Jesus is what excites us. Name of Jesus is what is most important to us. We are not after the wealth of this world. We are not after the popularity of this world. We are not after the men and women of this world. We have seen the wonderful mercies of God coming down from heaven in Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth. We adore Him as our Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and we accept that fact. Oh, name of Jesus, that name excites me. Wherever I be, whether in my kitchen or in my neighborhood or in workplace or in school, I cannot detach myself from the name of Christ. I have believed. Corinthians, he says, you have taken the name of Christ. Remember, follow Him. It is as you stick with Him that you shall realize the great truths of sanctification. It is not by saying, I believe, so I am justified, so here I go the way of the world. No, justified. The justified will remain with the one who justified them. The name of Christ is the sweetest name of all. And when we are so mindful of the name of Christ, and when we are motivated to live for Him, the Spirit of God continues His work of sanctification. There is no power of the Holy Spirit to those who do not trust in the name of Jesus Christ. There is no power of the Holy Spirit to those who do not follow after Jesus Christ. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit is not just fainting in the church and falling onto the ground and shaking your hands and legs. That's not the power of the Holy Spirit. It is His constant work to purify us. What great change. What great change, dear friends. And I pray to the Lord that you have heard this simple message. I don't think this is an absolutely new theology. It is not. It is the old gospel truth. So I believe many of you have heard this over and over again. And there is a purpose that the Lord has spoken these words to you today. Because we are living in a very corrupting time. The influences of sin is so powerful today. And it reaches us through very powerful mediums. You know, I can't go out today without praying, Lord, please protect me from all these sins. Even coming to church, I have to pray that. And I have to pray, Lord, I want to be a pastor who trusted in the name of Christ and had the power of the Holy Spirit who kept me clean. How drastic and perilous it will be if one day all my dear brethren here gets the news, Pastor Koshi is taken in sin. What drastic day it will be. I don't preach this because I think I am better than you. I am fully aware of the terrible trap of sin around us. I cannot for a second encourage you to think it is okay for you to try your best to be holy. And if you can't, then remain as you are. Oh, the message is this. There is no gospel that cannot change. The thing that you believe, which cannot bring about change, is not gospel. Gospel brings change. It saves us. May my dear friends, name the name of Christ wherever you will be. Declare your allegiance without shame. Wherever you be, among your friends, among your colleagues, in your house, among your relatives, declare your allegiance to Christ. Then you shall have the power of the Holy Spirit to keep yourselves clean. We must escape everything that corrupts our soul. We must keep it sanctified. Our Lord is coming soon. If you name the name of Christ, keep yourself pure. He's coming. We must be pure as He is. Let us pray. Father in heaven, how simple and clear is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us not to complicate the simplicity of the gospel. The pure, clear message of the gospel that Jesus saves from sin and condemnation. Lord, forgive us for times when we have distorted this gospel truth by deliberately pursuing that which is evil and quietly assuring us, I'm saved, so it should be all right. Or by saying, God is gracious, He shall not condemn me. Forgive us, O Lord, for desecrating your name. Help us not to be blasphemous in our thinking. We cannot and we should not dilute the gospel truth. It must remain pure, unadulterated. Jesus saves. Jesus saves us from sins. May this church and its members live out this testimony, that Jesus may be preached to sinners of all kinds, that we shall see the great change that He alone can bring. This Chinese New Year that's coming, we pray, our people will bear a good testimony to their family members. Instead of gambling, instead of drinking, instead of enjoying the worldly pleasures, help them to stand for Christ. May the Holy Spirit, whom Thou hast sent, grant us the power. This is our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.